Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your friendly Pinhead 198 back with a much anticipated new episode finally back. It's been a long time from March 1st to April 1st. It's April Fool's, and no, this isn't an April Fool's joke. I am back. It has been a while. I've been through a lot of shit. I'm going to share some, and I'm going to share nothing. All at the same time, we've got a lot of news. Lizzo's fat ass is saying she's quitting. She's crying, quipping and crawling, saying she's done with the business. You know, she ain't doing it no more. I'm out. She went on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. She bawled her eyes out saying, I'm done with this. I'm tired of people persecuting me, prosecuting me, crucifying me, sanctifying me. I'm tired of it all. You know, a part of me would have a little bit of sympathy for her always being dragged, because she said her the big reason, even though, you know, you went to, a big reason why you failed recently in this last week is because you went to the Joe Biden fundraiser, but that's neither here nor there. Wouldn't be no different if you went to a Trump fundraiser. You're all a bunch of fucking crooked cocksuckers. But, you know, you're crying and you're boohooing, playing the blues about how no one shows you respect. Everybody trolls you. Everybody talks about how you're a fat shit and they don't give you respect. You're tired of being dragged. You know, not for nothing, Lizzo. And I'm kind of a fan of her music. I got a couple of her albums on vinyl. I only got one of her albums on vinyl. I respect who she is as an artist, but you hold yourself in such low class. You know, if you held yourself in higher class, no, it ain't just about you being fat. Trust me, it's coming from a fat fuck talking to another fat fuck. People don't give a fuck that you're fat. That's just the low-hanging fruit that you give people. You're classless. Maybe if you held yourself in a little more class like Adele. She used to be a big girl. No one talked shit about her. Aretha Franklin was a big girl. No one talked shit about her. There's tons of big girls. There's tons of people. If you held yourself in the class of Aretha and Adele, and Celine Dion, and other people who have actual class, you wouldn't be dragged through the mud, but you gotta take your fat ass out there at a Laker game where there's kids present, and show your booty cheeks, and twerk. You gotta use Benjamin Franklin's flute, and put it up your ass, and up your pussy, and do little dances, and twerk while you're playing the flute. You're classless, so people treat you like a trashless class bag hoe. When you project yourself out into the world as a piece of garbage, people are gonna use you as a piece of garbage. And that's why people treat you the way that you are. It wouldn't matter if you looked as good as Mariah Carey in her prime. If you acted the way you act, like you always do, people would still consider you a fucking hoe. So you bring a little bit of this onto yourself, baby girl, and I don't believe you're quitting the music business. You said you're out. You gave a cryptic fucking Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown, cryptic message about how you're quitting the business. Stop it. The money's too good. The food's too good. You ain't stopping. You're just doing this to get sympathy and fucking clout toward everybody. So we know you ain't quitting, but hey, Lizzo, if you are quitting, good riddance to bad rubbish, as our British friends say. Goodbye. But we can't say goodbye because we know your little ass ain't quitting. You like to twerk too much. You like to twerk your fat ass too much on them Laker and Piston and Bulls games. So, you know, you're a pacer yourself and not from Indiana. Stop the bullshit. You know you ain't quitting, baby. I'm in a good mood, you know. It's been a month, you know. It's been a long month. And I just want to come out and say, you know, my apologies. I've been mean to people, and my mental health has not been too well. You know, I actually got put in the nut hut. I'll only share that with you guys. My faithful listeners, all of eight of you that are left. I actually went to a mental health facility because I broke down and I just couldn't take it anymore. Because, you know, your Papa Pinhead can only take so much when people keep pushing. You know, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head, you know, as the song goes. But, you know, I had a little breakdown, got help. I stopped taking my medication. Stopped going to therapy and stopped taking my medication. This is the one thing I am an advocate for mental health. I am a huge mental health advocate, and I didn't practice what I preached. Even on the podcast with filmmaker Mike and the boys, I would always, you know, talk once in a while, get your help. See those therapists, take your medication, do what you need to do, especially if you are bipolar and schizophrenic. Not saying I'm one of those and not saying I'm not one of those. I'm just saying you got to get your help. You don't do it, the world's going to fall on you. Take heed of the people that love you, you know. Take heed of the friends that are reaching out to you. Don't hit their hands away. Don't bite the hands that feed you. Take the people in your family that love you. Just embrace it. You're not a freak. Don't let anybody tell you out there that you're a freak because you're trying to get mental health help. Fuck them. If they're telling you that, cut the cord, get rid of those fucks, and throw them out in the garbage because that's where they belong. You need to stick to the people that have always held their hand out to you, even knowing that you have mental health problems, your family, your friends, no matter who it may be, Andrew Dice Clay, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay. Just stick to the people that you know love you. And that will get you where you need to be. And make sure you keep taking your medication and getting the therapy you need. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm okay. You know, I got apologies to make to people I love. I love, you know, I love my boy Mike. Love my boy Kuya. I love you too, Dan, if you're still listening. I love you. I'm sorry for past indiscretions. But, you know, we're here. We're new again. And we're back online. Just like RoboCop. In RoboCop 2. When he was rebuilt again and he went at Kane. Kane's bugging me. We're back online. And boy, since we've been gone, we've had a lot of shit. As we discussed just momentarily, Lizzo had her little shit fit. We got an update on a possible sequel to the 2002 Hellraiser, 2022, excuse me. Made a little Hellraiser remake. There's could be a sequel. We got an update on Scream 7. Ugh, what a shit show. That didn't change any when I was gone. The shit show still continues. And we got something on the Child's Play. There's a new movie coming, even though we have a season 3 part 2 of Child's Play coming. Chucky, the series. There is, Don Mancini has confirmed. And let's just get into it. Child's Play creator details how new movie will connect to the Chucky TV series. Let's get into it, and then we'll keep talking about some other things. Just last month, filmmaker Don Mancini claimed that he was working on a new film in the Child's Play franchise. And with the spinoff TV series Chucky being such a hit for Sci-Fi and USA, let's not pretend, fans have wondered how the two projects would relate to one another while fans don't yet know the events of the second half of Chucky Season 3. Which premieres later this month. I'm assuming April. Because we're here there. I think it's April. I'm not sure. We'll look. Mancini confirmed that he hopes both the TV series and the new movie can work together as opposed to the movie taking the place of a potential season 4 and that more expansions could be on the way. The show and the movie working in tandem is my hope. This is Don Mancini talking now. We're hoping to get a season 4 to the show, fingers crossed. Mancini, you keep up what you were doing in the first half of season 3 and all of season 2. I hope you don't get a season 4, but that's just my personal preference. I'd rather see more films. But anyway, Mancini confirmed to Screen Rant, I pitched the idea already to the network, so we're hoping on that. But I'm also in the early stages of developing a new movie now, and the movie is designed to work in tandem with the show. That's what we hope in our dreams to conquer the universe, is that we keep expanding the Chuckyverse. You're so clever. In this way. That's my hope. So we'll see what happens. After co-writing the original 1988 Child's Play with Tom Holland and John LaFaya, Mancini wrote the next six sequels all the way up to 2017's Cult of Chucky. Mancini also directed Cult of Chucky as well as its predecessor Seed of Chucky in 2004. We don't need to get into that. And Curse of Chucky in 2013. The last feature film in the franchise came in 2019, which served as a reboot of the concept. Sorry, I'm using one hand to go up with a... While all previous iterations of the characters involved the voodoo ritual transferred the soul of murderer Charles Lee Ray into the body of a good guy doll, the 2009 reboot instead explored a killer doll being motivated by artificial intelligence, and it was stupid. I'm sorry. For those of you that may have enjoyed it, I'm good for you. I'm happy for you, but that reboot was fucking trash. The one where Mark Hamill was the voice of Chucky. The latest season of Chucky is described in Chucky's unending thirst for power. Season 3 now sees Chucky ensconced with the most powerful family in the world, America's first family, inside the infamous walls of the White House. How did Chucky wind up here? What in God's name did he want? And how can Jake, Devin, and Lexi possibly get to the Chucky inside the world's most secure building, all while balancing the pressures of romantic... Yeah, we don't care about that. So let's get... Stay tuned for updates on the Chucky franchise. So, Don Mancini is... All he said, and as we gathered from that, is... He's working on a movie. He wants to connect it with the world of the first three seasons. God, I hope there's not a season four. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I hope there's not a season four of Chucky, because the first season was a banger. It was fantastic. It was one of the, not only the best seasons in television, it really pushed the story forward of Chucky, and we didn't get an origin story of why is Chucky. That first season was fantastic. Then we got to season 2, and there are some bright spots in season 2, but there's a lot of goofy shit. And then when we get to season 3, it continues, the 4 episodes that we got. So there's only going to be 4 more, because from what we've seen from the last 2 seasons, there's only been 8 episodes apiece of this show. So there's only going to, by, you know, basic math, I'm not very good, but 4 and 4 is 8. Let's make 4. Yeah, that's 8. 4 and 4 is 8. So we got 8. We got 4 more episodes coming of the second half of season 3. It's been goofy nonsense, and it harkens back to Seed of Chucky, which I fucking hate Seed of Chucky. I know there's some heroes that love the fucking Seed of Chucky for what it is. Seed of Chucky was fucking trash. It was poorly written, poorly directed, and just misguided altogether. And we're getting a lot of that shit in the last 2 seasons and the first half of fucking season 3 of Chucky. I hope we don't get that in the bottom half of season 3, but it's not looking good. All that being said, I hope Don Mancini makes I want another Chucky film. And if you have to connect it to the series, fine, but please, go back to the roots of the first 3 films, where it's just this killer doll who is brutally murdering people. Please, like you did in season 1, like you were doing in season 1 of Chucky. If you want to add some lore in there, fine, but let's not make it too goofy. I know people love the goofy shit from Seed and somewhat from Bride of Chucky, but we need to move out of the goofy shit. He was not established. He's a fucking serial killer that inhabits the body of a fucking doll from evil voodoo practices. Why do we have to do the goofy shit? I'm not saying throw the goofy shit out. Let's have a simple balance. Let's have an even balance. Not just too much of one or too much of the other. Let's please every bit of the audience across the board. Don Mancini has the mind to do it. So please, do it, Don. I'm looking forward to that movie. Let's see it go. From that, we go to, you know, Pinhead is my acronym. Or my acronym. What do you call it? Who knows what it is. But we're going to Hellraiser 2022 remake producer give sequel update. We're definitely hard at work at a new one. Hopefully Clive Barker likes it, because it goes through him too. It's not just you, buddy. But here we go. Hellraiser producer Keith Levin has given an update about a potential sequel to the 2022 remake. While a sequel to 2022's Hellraiser hasn't been officially announced at this time, Levin told comicbook.com that they are trying to do a follow-up and are definitely hard at work on the project. We are trying to do a follow-up, and there have been conversations, Levin said. I can't exactly say where we are in these conversations, you know, because you can't get Barker to budge. Let's admit it. But David Bruckner is involved in those conversations, and we spend a lot of time and energy, I think relaunching the world. Good. I'm glad Bruckner, and then for those that don't know, Bruckner is the director of the 2022 remake. He did a good job. For all my anger with the remake, there's a lot he did well. And I'm hoping he gets another shot at it. Why not? Many people who have done far less have gotten another shot. Let him have another shot. So he's involved in those conversations. We spent a lot of time and energy, I think, relaunching the world. A lot of brain power going into crafting the Cenobite design, figuring out how we're going to pull them off, and we learned so much. Okay, so they've learned quite a bit. I hope you did. I hope you're taking that to truth, because there's a lot you needed to learn, and I hope you did learn, and we'll see. He continued, and I think moving forward, we love that all the knowledge is sort of banked and that times have been spent. So we think that moving forward and going into another movie is just going to be even crazier and even more awesome. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. So yeah, that's something we're definitely hard at work on, and hope we will have more news soon. So that's about it. The 2022 Hellraiser movie is currently streaming on Hulu. So those that don't know, yes, the 2022 Hellraiser is streaming on Hulu. Disney, you know, because Disney is engulfing all of Hulu now. So Hellraiser is going to be on Disney Plus. Because they are cannibalizing, for those that don't know and haven't noticed, they are cannibalizing and taking in all of Hulu's shit for the most part and bringing it into Disney Plus, because they want Disney Plus and Hulu to be one single thing, so that, you know, you can have your adult side of Disney Plus and yada. Because Prey is on Disney Plus from last I checked. I haven't had Disney Plus in over a couple of months, but before I canceled my Disney Plus and Hulu and Prey was on there. So, and that movie's violent too. So it's great to see Hellraiser on Disney. But that's good news to hear, that they're going to go even crazier and harder in the sequel. God, I hope so. Please. I'm begging you. And bring back one of my biggest, and I know this is going to make me sound like a sleazeball, but I don't care. One of the biggest complaints that I have with the remake is because there's not enough of the sleaze and just disgusting, depraved S&M type of vibes that just come off that came from the original first two fucking movies. It's even in there in Hellraiser 3. I'm talking about that gritty, depraved, violent, disgusting. Jamie Clayton as in the new Pinhead, was not the problem. I know a lot. See, I told you. She's not Doug Bradley. No one's going to be Doug Bradley, just like when you replace Robert Englund. Just like the Nightmare on Elm Street fucking remake that we got. Jackie was not the problem of why that movie sucked. Him being the new Freddy Krueger. He was not the problem. The script, the direction, and all the other bullshit was the reason why that movie fucking sucked. Jamie Clayton was not the problem of why the new Hellraiser might have... It wasn't terrible. It wasn't as terrible as that Nightmare on Elm Street remake. The reason why a lot of people like myself weren't over the moon about it was because it didn't have that sleaze. It didn't have that depraved, disgusting... They're Cenobites, demons from hell. And it had none of that sleaze of that... Ugh. That just made you feel dirty. That just made you feel like you need to take a shower after you watched it. That's what I want from the next one. Just like the first three made you feel just beyond Doug Bradley's performance, just that, the goo and the gore and just all that shit that just made you go, gave you the heebie-jeebies. None of that was in the new movie, and that's why a lot of us, myself included, didn't hate it. I didn't hate it, but we were like, it's good because it's better than a lot of the dreck we've gotten, especially from the last six Hellraiser films after Hellraiser 3. And we'll even include Hellraiser Bloodline. So you got and I gotta say Inferno was good for what it is, even though it's like a tight-knit, controlled Hellraiser. But Hellseeker was shit. Deader was shit. Hellworld was shit. Judgment was shit. What was the other? Revolution or whatever it was shit. We had five back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back shit Hellraiser films. Of course, this was going to be a good, decent Hellraiser film compared to what we got. And Jamie Clayton, she did her work. My hat's off to you, baby girl. You did a good job. Are you as good as Pinhead or Doug Bradley? That's not fair. No, but that's not fair. Because Doug was in shit. A lot of those I just mentioned, Doug was in those and they were shit. And that's why he stopped doing them. And that's why he refuses to do another Hellraiser unless Clive Barker is involved. And it's the Scarlet Gospel. And that's the type of sleaze I'm talking about. That violent gore nastiness. We need that kind of mentality. I wouldn't mind Jamie Clayton reprising her role as being Pinhead again. But we need to give her some shit so she can put out the gravitas that Pinhead has. We need to give her that chance. And I don't want to hear, oh, it's a transgender female. There's no sexual orientation in Cenobites, even though, you know, we kind of got some in Hellraiser Part 2, Hellbound. But in the book, that's neither here nor there. I want that nasty, disgusting sleaze. And you better bring it for the next movie. Otherwise, I don't want to see David Bruckner. I don't care if it's Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't want to see anybody but Clive Barker doing it again then if you guys can't do this. Because we've got a lot of promise from Fox. And that's another thing we talk about. Alien Romulus, as I've been out, dropped their trailer, their teaser, recently for the new movie that's coming out in August. And I'm very excited about it, even though I know a lot about the story already because a reliable source who I know has seen the movie has already told me about the movie. I'm very excited about this. We need to take that same type of hype and 20th Century Studios. They're not 20th Century Fox, 20th Century Studios now that Disney bought them. I never thought I would say this, but Disney with Prey and the possibility of Alien Romulus being really good and Hellraiser being not too bad, we can really do a good job of making some disgusting, just horror that makes you go, oof, gives you the heebie-jeebies. That's what I want. I want horror to bring back the heebie-jeebies again. I'm not asking for great. All I'm asking for you is to make me feel nasty and make me have the heebie-jeebies. You know, hashtag heebie-jeebies. We want the heebie-jeebies brought back into horror again. So we feel that, like, when you go to your car after you've been to the movie theater and you go and you're trying to put your key or you got your fob where you're making it, you look behind your back and you go, oh, shit. Because you never know. There might be that killer lurking in the darkness coming for you. I want that kind of horror movie. The way Antlers did. The way The Black Phone did. And I'm talking about newer, recent films. The way The First Omen's claiming it's gonna do this Friday coming out as we're recording this episode. I want the heebie-jeebies back. I want to be scared again. And not in the traditional sense. I just want the heebie-jeebies back. That's all. And I know I've said heebie-jeebies enough, but let's move on. We'll finish this off with Scream 7 news. God, why we're still doing this. But and then I'll do my final thoughts and we'll close out the episode. But long live the heebie-jeebies. And let's see if Courtney Cox, in talks to reprise classic role in Scream 7 as Nev Campbell rejoins horror franchise. And we already know, we don't know, but Courtney, you're coming back because this fucking movie's a mess since you fired Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega's side. Fuck you, motherfuckers. Peace. I'm out. I'm going to go film Beetlejuice and do another season of Wednesday. Fuck Scream. So here we go. Courtney Cox in talks to reprise her role in the Scream franchise, a new report claims. This is via The Independent, but this has been, this has been reported from The Hollywood Reporter, Vanity, Variety, all the top dirt sheets. So here we go. As well as her role as Monica Geller in Friends, Cox is known to many for her portrayal as Gail Weathers in all the horror franchise films so far, starting with Scream in 1996 and most recently in the 2023 sixth edition, Scream 6. Thank you for telling us that it's the sixth edition, knowing that it's Scream 6. Appreciate you, article. We're too stupid to fucking figure it out. Anyway, on Friday, March 29th, Variety reported that the actor is now having conversations to return for the seventh outing of the film, according to multiple sources. Scream 7 has been the subject of much discussion in recent months. Oh, howdy, has it? Following the departure of former series star Melissa Barrera, Wednesday actor Jenna Ortega, and former director Christopher London. Earlier this month, it was announced that Nev Campbell has rejoined the franchise. Oh, baby, you're back. You're my crush, and I'm always going to love you. I'm glad you're back. They better have paid you the bag. That's all I know. The actor who has played series protagonist Sidney Prescott in five of the Scream films initially exited the film a year before Scream 6 was filmed after a pay dispute. Yep, better have paid her. Better have paid her, that's all I know, because you need that bitch, and you need Courtney Cox, too, even though they're not going to move the needle, because we all fell in love with the core four in the last two movies, but, you know, who are we to talk? We're just the consumers. But anyway, initially, Campbell has explained that the studio's salary offer did not equate to the value I have brought to the franchise. However, the 50-year-old, damn, you still look good, okay? The 50-year-old actor shared news of her return with an Instagram post on the 12th of March. Sidney Prescott is coming back, Campbell wrote, alongside a picture of the movie script cover. It's always been such a blast and an honor to get to play Sidney in the Scream movies. My appreciation for these films and for what they have meant to me has never waned. I'm very happy and proud to say I've been asked in the most respectful way to bring Sidney back to the screen, and I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, I like that and I don't like that because, you know, I believe her, but also it's, you know, publicity bullshit, you know. You got to get your PR people to tell you to say that, but Anyway, Barrera, who played Sam Carpenter, departed the franchise in November after making her debut in the film, in the fifth film. Barrera, who played Sam Carpenter, departed the franchise in November after making her debut in the fifth film, 2022 Scream, and starring in Scream 6 the following year. There we go. You got it, James. The In the Heights actor was quietly dropped from the seventh film, reportedly due to her post about the Israel-Hamas war being deemed anti-Semitic, which, fuck you fucking pieces of shit. I don't care who hears this and how I might get canceled. Anything you say is anti-Semitic now. If you say, I don't want to see people die, you're anti-Semitic and you hate the Jews. It's fucking ridiculous. If you said you celebrated Easter yesterday on Sunday, which is the day removed from when we're recording this, guess what? You're fucking anti-Semitic. It's a bunch of fucking... It's a bunch of propaganda bullshit, and it needs to stop. It really needs to fucking stop. And that's just my opinion. I'll end it there. And just by saying that, I'm anti-Semitic. It's fucking stupid. You know, being a biracial child, but I'm anti-Semitic. I hate Jews, you know. Shut the fuck up. Soon after it was announced that Ortega, who played Barrera's younger sister, Tara, in Scream, we know in both films, Scream 5 and 6, just say it, would also not return to Scream 7 due to scheduling conflicts for the next season of the Netflix hit series Wednesday. And we know she was filming Beetlejuice. And we know that she has loyalty to fucking Melissa. Let's not play the game. She dropped out because she might have been called anti-Semitic. So she's an anti-Semite. Then in December, London revealed that he had also left the project, the director, telling social media followers that it had been a dream job that turned into a nightmare, because, you know, you're an anti-Semite too. Scream 7 will be directed by the franchise's creator and writer, Kevin Williamson. That is the only thing that makes me happy about this. I love you, Nev, and I love you, Courtney. I could give two Christmas fucks about you two returning. The fact that the original creator who helped Wes do this shit and make it a fucking franchise, the first three films of what they are, Kevin coming back and actually directing the film and being the one to finally, because he's never helmed one. He's always written, but he's never helmed one. This is the first time he's doing it. That gives me a little, and I mean a grain of salt passing through the urethra, bit of hope that this movie will be something other short of the fucking train wreck that we're seeing it to become. Scream 7 will be directed by franchise creator and writer Kevin Williamson. The Independent is the world's most free thing. We don't need you. Now you're giving yourself. So that's the end of the article. The rest of it was them patting themselves on the back. But he's coming on board, and that's all we know. Courtney Cox is joining. Let's just stop the bullshit. Courtney, they're going to drop the bag for her to be in it. The script is pretty much done. They're going to start working on the shit soon, or filming it. And we'll see. Kevin, good luck to you, bro. I mean that wholeheartedly. Good luck to you, bro, because you have got a fucking shit sandwich. You've got to turn chicken shit into Chinese chicken salad and make it edible for everyone to eat. Good luck to you, bro. I do not envy you that in any way. I would kill to be on any horror set and work on any horror movie, any franchise. I don't think I would. You couldn't, even in the debt that we are in, I don't even think you could pay me enough to even make my name on this, because it's going to be potentially one of the biggest disasters ever. To not only come in horror, but to come into a movie at all. This movie came out the gate just, it's like, and I hate to be this, but it's like doing a horse race and shooting the horse in both of its legs out the gate and saying, hey, go run the race. Good luck, buddy. There's almost no hope. unless a fucking miracle of God comes down, unless Wes Craven himself is allowed to come down and from beyond the grave and figure this shit out. I don't know how this is going to happen, but good luck. Good luck, because you're going to need it. And that's where we're at, you know? We've got a lot of horrors. We're past halfway to horror. Halfway to Halloween. We're ramping up. I'm going to get some more. I know I said I would do my Dune analysis and review on here. That is coming, but we got to catch up since, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of personal things have happened, but we're back online. I don't know how much longer we're going to be doing this, because now that Spotify is doing a new loophole that you got to do to jump through these things and make sure that it's published and put out there, I don't know how many more episodes we're doing of this, but as long as I can keep doing this, I'm doing it. I love you guys. I missed you guys. I hope you miss me. We got a lot of shit to cover, because we've got Immaculate. I've already seen that. I've got to cover my review on that, write that out, and do that. And I tell you, that was a treat. A piece of shit movie, but we'll get into that in the next episode. That'll be very soon. It won't be that far. Trust me, it will not be a month. I promise you. It'll be in the next 3 or 4 days. I'll be doing that. I'll be doing a review of that. I'll be doing the review of The First Omen, which I'm not looking forward to doing anything on that, because they've changed the story to fit what Damien is. He's no longer born of a jackal, which is pissing a lot of people off. Not just if you're an Omen fan, but a fan of the fucking books that actually told you why that made sense. He's no longer born of a jackal because, you know, the producers and the directors are saying, well, it doesn't make any sense to the people of the modern audience. They won't understand it. You're fucking stupid. It's too far-fetched from what they said. The fucking story's already far-fetched because, one, it's a horror movie, and two, it's about the fucking Antichrist, you fucking morons. But we'll have that discussion once we review The First Omen. Hey, if it's a good movie, I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm going to try and see Late Night with the Devil, because I've been hearing nothing but great things about that. David Dismalshian acting his ass off. I hope I get to see that. But we're going to do a lot of things in the next coming months, and I hope that you stick with me before this podcast crashes and burns and is never existent again. Who knows? Maybe I'll be able to work my way around the new guidelines of Spotify and being able to do this. Who knows? We'll see. But until then, you know, I'll see you on the next one. We also got, before I go, WrestleMania is this weekend. Monday Night Raw, the penultimate, you know, dumbass Michael Cole said last week was the penultimate show. He's fucking stupid and obviously doesn't know what that term means. The penultimate go-home show of WrestleMania's Monday Night Raw is tonight as we're recording this. We'll do a couple of more. We'll do an episode before we get to WrestleMania. And we'll talk about everything. Jade Cargill is here. She's going to be in WrestleMania, just like I hope. Cody Rhodes is going on to face The Rock and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. It's a whole big thing. We'll get into it. Trust me, my folks. We will get into it, because I missed you. I love you guys. And take care of each other. I'll just say this. Please take care of each other, because we need to take care of each other. We need to take care of ourselves, and we need to take care of each other. If you see anybody in trouble, help them out. You know, you never know. You never know. You might find a new friend. But I love you guys. I appreciate you guys for listening to this episode and continuing to listening to this idiot ramble on and on and on and on this podcast. I love you. Take care of yourselves and peace. We will be back very soon. This, I promise you. No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.